The title for today's study is Here Is My Servant, Whom I Uphold. In the days of the Old and New Testament, many homes employed servants to work for them. In today's devotion, I will seek to help us to understand what is required of us as Christians to live a true servant-like spirit, which God expects of us. There are many times in the Old Testament where God addresses godly men with this term, my servant, such as great leaders including Abraham, Moses, and Caleb. One particular man God repeatedly addressed as my servant is David. Let us briefly look at the life of David to establish why David was so favoured by God to be called my servant. We well know David as a young man was a shepherd. And while he was a shepherd for a while, King Saul favoured David to be his musician. Then one day, David was called from the sheepfold to stand before the prophet Samuel. God had asked Samuel to appoint the next king from among Jesse's children. David was anointed to be selected to be the next king. It is of great importance what God said to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, 4-13. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. Why was David so special to God? Why did God anoint him as the next king? We have the answer in Acts 13:22, which reads, "After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.'" As we know, David wrote many songs and psalms, many which highlighted David's love for his God. God chose David as the next king because David was simply willing to obey and do whatever God asked him to do. These are surely prime attributes to being a servant of God, to love God and wholeheartedly respond to God's service at whatever the cost. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul reminds us that each of God's children are individually given a gift, of which one is being called to serve. We read in Romans 12:3-8, by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to us. If a gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. It is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The title to this devotion is taken from a Bible verse in Isaiah 42:1-4, which reads, here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he has established justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is a prophecy spoken by Isaiah concerning Jesus. When we read the first four Gospels of the New Testament, we discover the true example of his servanthood lived out in the life of Jesus. He is the perfect example of a true servant. The Apostle Paul writes concerning Jesus in Philippians 2:1-8. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. A very important word is used by Paul, which is a fundamental characteristic of a servant. Paul says in verse 8, he humbled himself. As my former pastor once said, to be humble is to have strength, but to have power over it. A true statement. Yet Jesus went the extra mile. In his service for mankind, he willingly gave up his life to pay for our redemption of sins. The third book or gospel in the New Testament was written by Mark. Before Mark became a follower of Jesus, he worked as a servant. It is very noticeable when reading the Book of Mark in the King James Version, the word immediately is often mentioned about how Jesus lived and responded to many situations. A distinct feature of a servant, as we saw in the life of David, is highlighted by Mark showing the servitude of Jesus, how Jesus responded to people's needs promptly. He immediately responded. Let us stop and consider another aspect of how Mark elaborates on the role of a good servant. We read in Mark 9:33-36, "Then," that is Jesus and his disciples, "came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you arguing about on the road?' But they kept quiet because on the way they'd argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, 'Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all.' He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me.'" As servants living and working for Jesus, we need to have a childlike spirit. When a father tells his child something or asks him to do something, the child will not question what their father says. They will unquestionably and without hesitation immediately do it. They do not seek to usurp their father's authority or seek recognition. They take on a subservient, willing spirit. We read about Jesus healing the sick in Matthew 8:1-13. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him, and he said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testament to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown out into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. I noticed three special characteristics about the centurion. He was most probably a Roman centurion who the Jewish people would be hostile to. Although he had a position of authority over 100 armed men, he recognized that Jesus had the power and authority to heal his servant. He highly respected Jesus, which showed great humility. We also see the centurion had compassion on his servant. and also had great faith by bringing his servant to Jesus, believing Jesus would heal his servant. Jesus is our perfect example of a servant. The servitude of Jesus was prophesied in Isaiah 61, which Jesus had read in the temple at the beginning of his ministry, and also was mentioned in Matthew 12:17-19. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant, whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out, no one will hear his voice in the street. Jesus also said in Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Although we acknowledge Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he continues to want to serve his fellow followers, his children, the church. He continues to show the many attributes of being a servant. He also wants us to be faithful to him and likewise serve him as faithful servants. We read in Mark 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We are reminded of his ultimate humility and obedience at the point where he was about to be crucified when in the Garden of Gethsemane. He pleaded with his Father in Matthew 26, verse 39. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. But I am reminded of what the Apostle said in Hebrews 12:1-3. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We read here what inspired Jesus to go to the cross and endure such agony. The joy Jesus had was in looking for a future day when everyone who has lovingly invited Jesus into their hearts would one day be joined with Jesus in heaven as his children for all eternity. For anyone who has not done so, there is still time to call on the name of the Lord. He promises in Romans 10:9-13, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you could profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. But there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord over all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Apostle Paul emphasized the blessings we can look forward to as servants. Paul says in Acts 20:35, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. I can wholeheartedly agree with the Apostle that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Something we truly cannot come to appreciate and fully understand unless we'll wholeheartedly seek to serve Jesus by serving others, particularly those needing help with physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. The moment a child is born into a Christian family, the parents wholeheartedly serve and help that baby to become a strong adult and seek to teach them the truth and encourage the child to follow Jesus, living out their faith by example. As the child develops and grows, as a young person becomes a loving, caring person, following the example of its parents, the parents gain the joy and reward of seeing their child become someone people find great joy and pleasure in knowing as a friend. Likewise, we too, as we seek to serve others, to encourage and help those in need as required, we in turn can have the joy, the reward of seeing them grow into fellow disciples and servants of God. In turn, they become in servants of Christ, also able to reap the rewards of seeing others won for the kingdom of God. It is in experiencing these pleasures we will in truth be able to say, it is better to give than to receive. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6, 1-9, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favour when their eyes are on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing it at the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slaves or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. There is a day coming when we will all stand before God and receive his final rewards. As well as being with Jesus for eternity, he promises rewards for our service to him while here on earth. In Colossians 3, 23-24, the Apostle Paul reminds us, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. The very last words Jesus said to John in a vision, in the very last chapter of the last book in the Bible, Revelations 22:12, Jesus said, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. Let us close by listening to a favourite song of mine, written by Graham Kendrick, which has the title, The Servant King. Verse 1 and the last verse sum up what we have been talking about, for us to understand what it means to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world with glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve, and give your life that we might live. So, Let us learn how to serve, and in our lives enthrone him, each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King.
Thank you.